Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino. He is Jeff Fiegels. Glad you could join us for today's program.
What's up?
On day two of the National Football League Draft. Our phone number is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Or you can get us on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. We do understand there may be some technical difficulties with the app, so if you can't see us on your phone and have to go to your computer, we apologize, but we certainly hope you can check out the archive later on this afternoon or tonight and perhaps gain some information about what's going on in day two of the draft. So, Jeff, let's get right to it. At number 23 last night, the Giants decided to take Ole Miss tight end Evan Engram, who ran a 4.42 40 at the combine. And, you know, I had someone comment to me about him earlier today, and I said, the one thing you could say unequivocally, he's not only the fastest tight end in Giants history, he's probably faster than most receivers in Giants history.
Well, he's just about as fast as Odell Beckham. They ran about the same 40 time. So, and also he's a little bit heavier and much taller. I love the pick, and if we want to get right into it, you know, and it just goes to show you all these mocks, nobody knows. It's just a fun exercise to do over the course of the whole draft process. But, you know, evidently the Giants knew that they wanted this young man. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure, are discussing, you know, why didn't the Giants go up a few to get O.J. Howard? In my opinion, you build a team through the draft, and when you go to get somebody like that, you got to mortgage your future a little bit with draft picks. I just, historically, Jerry Reese has never done it in the first round. Mm-hmm. He now continues that history streak. He didn't do it again. But I feel like, you know, they went after a need player, and they got a guy that not only is a tight end. We all knew that the tight ends in this class were not good blockers anyways, but what did they do, Paul, in free agency? They went and got a tight end that could block. That's all he could do.
That is true.
But they got a player in Evan Engram who can play slot, he can play outside, he can play tight end, and more importantly, the Achilles heel for the Giants offense in 2016 was what?
Getting down the middle
the
of the field.
The two deep safety coverage that they saw, mm-hmm. the red zone struggles that they saw. They now have a Jordan Reed type player with the Giants, and I love the pick, and I just do not know, from a defensive standpoint, when you line up against the Giants, who are you going to cover? Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, now Evan Engram, Shane Vereen. Mm-hmm. It's very nice, and I'm excited about the pick. That's coming from me. I think that it was a lot of value in it, and I think that this kid's going to be. He's a smart kid, and I feel like he was just a missing piece to the puzzle for an offense that struggled in those areas, down the middle of the field, in the red zone, and consistency at the tight end position.
Okay, since it is day two of the draft, we've got this show for you today up until 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Then later on tonight, beginning at 7 p.m. It'll be John Schmelk and myself to take you through the second round. The Giants will be picking at number 55 overall. And then, depending upon how the flow of traffic goes with you fans out there, we may take it all the way to the Giants pick in the third round. And trust me, that's going to be a late night. So if you guys are up for it, we'll stay here till the Giants pick in the third round. If not, we'll definitely get you through their second round pick at number 55 here on Giants.com and hopefully the Giants app as we try to get everything squared away later on tonight.
Actually, in any event, good, right?
We're good now. We have been told we are good, so everything is working. And so if you need to go out for lunch, you can take us with you on your phone and
ahead.
Enjoy the rest of the program. Once again, 201-939-4513. Now, Jeff, before we get to the calls, let me just ask you, where do you think the Giants are going to go with pick number 55?
Well, I feel like they can still get a little bit of value at the offensive line position, mm-hmm. okay? And I think that really that the two, if we bring them up, I know that the kid from Utah had went yesterday.
Well, Robinson's still available.
Robinson. And
Lamp is available.
And Lamp. So I feel like I think
Moten's still there too.
I actually think there's going to be a run early on the offensive lineman in the second round. And I don't mm-hmm. think that any of those guys are going to be left by the time the Giants are picking. So to segue into that, I feel like where do you go from there? I think you got to look at linebacker. I think you got to look at a linebacker and some of the guys up here. Paul, you got him up there.
Cunningham, to me, is and Riley are the two linebackers you'd be looking at in this round. But I'll be honest. I don't think either one of them gets anywhere near 55. Well, I think Jerry would have to go up if he wanted to get
it. So that means the two linemen that are left that are worth anything, the two linebackers that are worth anything. So where do you go from there? I think you probably got to go on the defensive side. You got to stay there. There's probably still a lot of good players on the board defensively.
I would suggest that you're right. I think if you're going to go, maybe Antonio Garcia might drop the offensive tackle to 55. That's a possibility.
And
but
I like him. And
so do
I. I'll tell you why I like him. Not because I ever played offensive lineman before, but I was talking to Chris Snee a few weeks ago, and I asked him about the offensive lineman.
Right.
He's actually doing a little bit of work for the Jaguars. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, he is.
But he's
his father-in-law, a little connection.
Yeah, a little connection. But he's been scouting the lineman, and I had asked him, you know, give me one of your sleepers, and he actually had mentioned Garcia. Liked him.
Okay.
So maybe that's a possibility if he's still there that the Giants feel that they could go after and get some depth at that position. Obviously, you know that we're not talking about starting offensive lineman that could come in here, but somebody that could actually could be
a depth
player. Absolutely.
Sure. And a future.
And a future at a second round pick. So, yeah, I think that if he could be there, then maybe the Giants could snoop him up.
Other guys you might want to keep an eye out for are Deion Dawkins, a guard/tackle out of Temple. Also has some good value there. It certainly could be around at 55. Quite frankly, I like Warmly, the defensive tackle out of Michigan, who I think would be a heck of a pick. Because I'm kind of also leaning with Jeff here a little bit. There's going to be better defensive value on the board at 55 than there probably will be offense still left on the board at that point. And certainly, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of cornerbacks.
Yeah, I think the Giants get a
ton of cornerbacks that are still left. And I mean, Jeff, only five of them went in the first day, and we had been told by experts, and I've said this before, and I graded them out myself, and then somebody even gave me a bigger number. There could be anywhere between 12 to 15 corners go by the time we're done with the first 2 days of the draft, and only five have gone so far. So there's a bunch of them just sitting here that have terrific value.
I like the guy that I can't pronounce his name, Awazi.
Oh, Chidobe.
Yeah. We'll butcher that name on air.
Out of Colorado. So in any event, those are some of the things that the Giants could do. Of course, they could move up, and we'll keep you posted tonight during the program. And we invite you again to come back to Giants.com, 7 p.m. tonight, to watch our Draft Night Live show. Right now, we go to the phones, and we see who was up first on the show tonight. And we've got Nick from the Meadowlands, I think, on line three. Is that right? We're going to line four. Okay, go ahead. Hello, you're on the program.
What's up, fellas?
Hi.
Hi.
All right. How you guys been?
Great. How are you?
It's a nice day. Working here in New York City, watching the girls go by.
It's beautiful.
All right.
It's beautiful. It's a great day. Sun is shining.
Yeah, it is a great day, especially after last night. You know, and Njoku, I was watching Howard. I'm like, oh, my God, is he really? And I said, no way. He's going to go, like, two spots before. And what did he end up doing? Going to Bucks. They're gonna have a nice little weapon right there. But whenever I saw this guy come up, I thought they were taking Njoku. But you know what? This guy, I get it. That I think you said everything I'm going to say, Jeff. The only other thing I was going to say, he's clean, too, off the field.
Sure. Yeah. 4 years completed school also.
Yeah, and again, and Paul and I were talking about this before we came on the air, to compare the two. I feel that that Ingram is a little more seasoned. Like Paul said, he's played 4 years.
SEC.
Yep, SEC. And I also, he's a smart kid,
defenses.
Good character.
Yep.
A lot of the ingredients that the Giants like in their players when they draft or bring in for free agency. Good character guys, good players. They like the SEC, as everybody does. I mean, that's the farm system of
good
the pro
reason.
Football season.
Exactly.
The, yeah.
And he's got something that he can share with Eli there. I'm sure he's going to become a favorite target for Eli.
Yeah, it's funny because I was reading a little bit about Ingram, and he had mentioned that Eli obviously goes down to Ole Miss quite a lot of times. He said he's actually caught footballs from Eli.
There you go.
How about that?
They already got a head start.
Yeah, yeah.
They already got a head start. But what you were saying before, I mean – I just don't want to give the Maloikas, you know. That's the only thing that I'm worried about now, you know what I mean? Because these guys, they just turned a receiving core that was just scary to look at on paper. Now it's terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, man, he's not going to drop those seam passes over the middle that Ty misses a lot. And when this guy catches it, I don't think there's going to be any linebackers or anybody else covering him. You know what I mean? They're going to be in the rearview mirror.
You know what I mean? Yep.
He's good. This is a good. I've heard a lot from friends and all this. Oh, what did they do? You know what? Like I said, I get it. They're getting the weapons, and they're going to just. I hope Eli's arm is ready, man.
Appreciate the phone call. We want to try to get to some others.
But guys, one more thing.
Yes,
quickly. The second round. No defensive tackles went, man. We need a defensive tackle.
Yeah, well, I mentioned Chris Wormley out of Michigan. I like him very much.
Yes,
certainly be
you
a could
get a blue chipper, I think, you know, a defensive tackle, and that'll make things even better for us.
Thank you.
We're looking good.
Appreciate it.
Looking good. Take care, guys. Let's go, Big Blue.
Okay. Blue. Let's go to line four. Jake from England across the pond calling up Big Blue Kickoff Live.
What's going on? Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Did you pull your hair out when they called Evan Engram?
You know, I was a Njoku guy going in.
I know you are.
And, you know, because I thought he was a more well-rounded, full-service tight end than Engram was. When I did film work on Engram, I saw a blown-up wide receiver, a guy who is virtually a clone to Brandon Marshall. And I understand that. And here's the thing. I'm so old school. You know, I grew up with the Moats and the Bavaros and then, of course, even Shockey and Jake Ballard and those guys. Those guys are tight ends to me. You know why? Because they line up on the edge.
Because they were years ago. It's not that position
And that's
anymore.
The problem.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the problem. You see?
They're hybrids now.
Because those tight ends used to spend some time in the offensive line room because they were a part of the running game. Nowadays, they're video game tight ends. Mm-hmm. What I like to do, I gave an analogy on Twitter today. And I want to make this very clear to everybody out there because you guys all know how I felt about this. Engram, to me, was more of a receiver than he was a tight end. And for that reason, he wasn't my cup of tea. It's very simple.
I agree with you on that.
It's very simple. Today, you look at these tight ends, the video game tight ends, and what they are shoot-first scoring point guards as opposed to the old-fashioned pass-first point guard. If I may use the NBA analogy.
It's a horrible analogy, but go ahead.
Oh, it absolutely works.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Never mind you. In any event, that's...
Stay in football, Paul.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's a nouveau video game tight end that's taken over this league.
I will give you that.
And that's what this guy is. And there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to score points. And the Giants have decided that getting a video game tight end is the best way to do it. And I understand it. I know the guy's got the skills to do it. And if that's the way they're going to do it, then let him do it.
Yep.
But that, and so, yeah, I was disappointed.
Can't run cover two on us anymore with this guy, honestly.
Well, goes to show you that the Giants succumbed to the idea that was their problem offensively.
Yeah.
And so they went out and addressed it, and they got a guy that can now exploit that. And really what Paul is trying to tell you is that who you got to pick your poison on who you're going to cover in these wide receivers slash tight ends and back. Remember, we forget that Vereen is in the backfield too on third down. And now you have this complement of other receivers and Engram. Eli's got to be a happy guy today. He really does.
I will say one thing, though. In reference to your question and why, of course, you figured out my angst in the pick, the Giants running game has really not appreciably improved to this point. They got the blocking. Well, they got Ellison, who's going to be the blocking hybrid, and you think that Perkins is going to be really good in the backfield, and they added DJ Fluker, who's going to compete for a starting job on the offensive line, but I still need to see some more improvement in the running game. So let's see what they do in rounds two and three. Let's see if they get more help in the running game.
Okay, and you also got.
I'm glad that you said that because I guess my question would be is if. Samaje Perine is there at the end of the second
this
round.
This guy loves me.
And there's still good quality O linemen there. Who do you take? Because, I mean, do you think that a running back, an extra running back, is going to supplement this running game? Or do you think that you want to bolster the offensive line that's going to help a Perkins, a Vereen?
I look at it, and it's a good question. I look at it, let's take it in both situations here. Offensive line. We addressed the offensive line. The Giants did by bringing in Fluker. There's going to be some competition there.
Yes.
Okay. One position that they have not addressed is the running back position. Okay. They got rid of Jennings, but So you got to think something's coming down the pike here, whether it's a free agent or a draft pick coming up.
A power back specifically,
yes,
I think.
Yes, and I think that will happen. I really do. And I think it would be an amazing thing to happen. But so those are kind of the things you look at. So where does it bring us to the second and the third round? I think first and foremost, I think the offensive line, and Paul and I were kind of talking a little bit about the offensive line. The linemen that are there, I think there's going to be a run at those linemen at the first part of the second draft. I don't think they're going to be there at pick number 56 when it comes to the Giants. So then you got to scratch your head and say, are we going to reach for a guy that maybe we have like a Garcia or somebody like that we're going to take? I would go that way. I still think in the draft you can get a running back in the third and fourth round. Still today, I still think you can do that, okay? And I think that's maybe where the Giants go. And don't forget about the linebacker, too.
You see, I think the one guy in this draft, and then I'm going to let you go, the one guy in this draft who, to me, has Giants written all over him is Samaje Perine. I think he is more a New York Giant player than anybody coming out of the draft this year. And the problem is, I wanted to get him in the third round, and I think that's where the value should be. But after he blew up the combine and had the power lift that almost knocked off everybody's offensive tackles because he was that strong, he shot up the board, and I've been told he's probably going to go somewhere in the 40s. So the Giants probably aren't even going to get a shot at him at 55.
And it's a shame because
One last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One last thing. If you look up, there's a video of Ingram holding strong against Myles Garrett on the line. Now, granted, it was an option, and it kind of stopped Myles Garrett's progression, but he still had held strong against him. So if you get a chance, take a look at that, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Will do. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You know, it's I'll tell you, you know, when you watch, well, he's on the monitor up here right now, that kid, Dalvin Cook, he's NFL ready. You know that.
Well, this is not a talent question.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a shame because, I mean, you're really, when you look at that kid play football, I see a lot of good in that guy, and it's unfortunate, you know, he's been dropping, and we'll see what happens in the second round. But, you know, I could see just from a talent standpoint and where a guy like that could fit in the New York Giants offense, he could. He really could. But, you know, that's up to the
three shoulder injuries, some fumbles, ball security issues, and then there's the off-the-field personnel folder.
So there's a lot of baggage there.
There is. Yeah. There is, and that's why he has shot out of the first round.
Yep.
So, 201-939-4513 here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. It looks like we're line two. Bam Bam from Rockville Center. Hello.
Paul, how are you? This is your buddy Bam Bam Biganos from Twitter.
Doing very well. How are you?
What's going on, my man? I was thinking of you last night. I know that Ingram's not your type of tight end, but you know, I'm pretty happy with the pick. I think if you look at the Giants' offense last year, one of the things they really struggled with was the red zone offense.
Yeah.
With the addition of not only Marshall and now Ingram, but you forget Ellison in there too. I don't think they were in a goal line set one time last year. They should be able to put together some bigger packages where they can maybe move Ingram in motion and kind of add that play action game. But I'm going to make it kind of quick. I just wanted to talk about tonight. I think one of the guys I really like is DeMarcus Walker from Florida State. Also, Tyus Bowser from Houston as an edge rusher. So I'm going to drop off the line and just kind of see what your thoughts on those two pass rushers are for tonight.
I'm a big DeMarcus Walker fan. Have you seen him, Jeff?
A little bit.
He, to me, is going to be a lot better as a three technique inside penetrator in a 4-3 than he will be as a stand aside defensive end. Because he plays in a 4-3 at Florida State. Occasionally they went to a 3-4 in the sub and he would slide inside. I think he's miscast as a defensive end. I think he's going to be better as a defensive tackle in a 4-3 in the NFL. And I think he's a real good sleeper for somebody. We've talked about him with some of the experts on our show in the past couple of weeks. And I'd love to see him with the Giants. I just don't know what round it's got to be that you're going to take him. Because if other teams see him as that sleeper, he's probably going to go sooner rather than later. And you may not be able to get him in the third round.
And I think that the Giants do need to address, even though that they're, you know, from a starting standpoint of the team going into the season, I still think there is a little bit of depth that needs to be acquired at the defensive tackle and defensive end positions. So, and I believe that the Giants will be going now that Hankins has left. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, this could be a guy that you could he could play outside, he could play inside, depending on, you know, what situational downs you were in. But, you know, so don't be surprised if the Giants do go defense here in the second round. You know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
I think there's probably more high-quality defensive players remaining.
Exactly. And I think that they're probably higher on the board from what as a matter of rankings.
I think
when
so,
when the
too.
Offensive guys go away, what happens? Those defensive guys that they have ranked are better players, mm-hmm. and that's where they're going to sit at 56.
Basham, what I wrote down for him, the words I used when I looked at his tape, quick, athletic, and he sheds blocks very well. I did not necessarily like his show of power. I think he's going to need to get a lot stronger. And I also questioned, of course, the level of competition playing in the MAC.
Yeah.
Though that was the issues that I had for him when I looked at him. I'm not as high on him, believe it or not. I even though a lot of people think Walker's lower, DeMarcus Walker was higher on my feelings. Things I had on him, terrific in the toolbox, a tackler, slices very well into open space between the gaps. Questioned his motor a little bit, his feet on the outside because you need to make that edge rush. Didn't like that very much. Leverage, again, on the outside. He had some problems getting off the edge to me to be a pass rusher in the NFL and a little bit of stamina issues. But, again, you know, that's why you're talking about a guy who's a little bit flawed. He's not a first-round pick. If he's first-round pick, he doesn't have those flaws.
Well, not many at least.
No, not many. We go to Ron from Georgia. You're on line three on the program. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Paul, Jeff, man?
Hi.
Good, how are you?
It's another good day to be a Giant. I love the pick.
Good, I do too.
The question about his blocker, I think he will be efficient enough.
Yeah.
Because if we talk about needing a power back, we don't need him in those sets, per se. If Perkins is running the football, there's going to be a lot of outside perimeter blocking, I feel, with Perkins. And he'll do the job. As far as the second round goes and the third round, I'm going to throw a couple names out there who I really want. I'll take it off the line. At linebacker in the second round, Raekwon McMillan. I want to know what you think about him. Mm-hmm. And I like Garcia if he drops to the third. I don't want to reach on him in the second. And Julian Davenport from Bucknell at tackle in the third.
Okay. So you're going a couple of offensive linemen there. All right, yeah, thank you for the call. I think that, you know, a guy from Bucknell is you have to
comp issues right away.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The first thing you're going to
say. So you're going to see him probably in a fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, somewhere in there. He's certainly not going to be up there in the third round. At least I don't think so.
Made 44 starts at Bucknell. I liked his length, thought he was athletic, and I liked his feet. Questions about his technique. He plays high, needs to add power. And didn't anchor very well.
How big is he?
Got him at 318, 6'7". Played left tackle at Bucknell.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
I mean, you know, I think the thing about Garcia, most people, and you, as you said, Chris Snee had been very high on him. I think the thing about it is, outside of the level of comp, which is his biggest question, and John and I have talked about him on this show. His frame's a little slight, too. He's going to have to bulk his frame up a little bit.
They will.
But outside of the level of comp at Troy, you know, there's not a lot not to like about him. It's more of a, can he do it at the higher level? That's what it is. It's an uncertainty about him. It's not that he's got a lot of marks on him. It's more of an uncertainty. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, especially because of the competition he played in. And you got to... You know, listen, sometimes you can talk about that all you want, but there are the guys that come from the Troys and the Bucknells that have been in this league before that nobody's given them a chance because of that. And then all of a sudden they just come into the league and they just kick butt, you know.
Well,
so it can happen.
Remember Ali Marpet from Division III last year?
And you know what? On the flip side of it, you got the guys that come from the SEC in the first and second rounds, and they're a bust.
I know.
So that's why this is not a perfect science. It drives me nuts about all these mock drafts and all that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, it's an exercise that we all go through. We try to flex our muscles and say that we got it right. I didn't do a mock draft. I know you guys did the other day. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see where that landed and how, because we are so competitive when it comes to all this stuff.
You know what? I didn't keep score.
I know that Schmelk and Lance did.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Of course they did.
I will say this. The caller made one interesting comment. I'll get back to the phones in just a second. He raised an interesting comment, though, and you said to me before, and it's fair. They got the blocking tight end in Ellison, the hybrid back, 260 pounds. And yeah. He's certainly going to be in there in a power situation, whether it's short yardage or goal line. That's obvious. But I'm thinking about something now, too. I don't know who you take off the field. Probably Engram. Maybe. I don't know who you would take off the field. But if you're in a real crunch time short yardage situation, Giants could probably also go with the six offensive linemen. Play jumbo package and throw Fluker out there, or Hart or Jerry, whoever loses
well,
the starting five competition,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now you get down there in that red zone and you're inside the five-yard line. Let me tell you something. If you haven't seen DJ Fluker, he's a big, big man. Big, big man. Well, and all of a sudden you throw him out there as the tight end and say, okay, you play tight end. And Ellison, you play fullback. We'll only go with a couple of wides, and we're just going to pound the ball in.
Or you do this. You got Rhett in the backfield. You got Ty and Engram on the line. And you're in short yardage. The Giants don't run all the time on short yardage. They pass on short yardage plenty of times.
But that's a problem. You know I don't like that.
I know that, but I'm just telling you, there's a matchup right there. So you got the defense thinking that short yardage. You got your fullback in the backfield. You got your two tight ends. And guess what? You got and one right out. You got a chance to throw the football there. So I just think it gives – and they've said matchup problems. We know that we talk about football every day. It's all about what? It's all about matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Get the right personnel in the field and get them mismatched to the defense that's there and then make plays.
That is true. All right, back to the phones. It looks like line four and Hudson is next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Jeff, how you guys
Hi.
Doing?
Very good, Hudson. Happy Friday, my man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, I just want to make a couple points before I get off the line.
Okay.
My first point is about Engram. They say he's like a Jordan Reed.
Yes.
Only he's taller and he's faster.
Yeah.
When we're playing the Redskins, how many people are complaining or saying about Jordan Reed, Dad, that guy cannot block. I'm glad we're playing
Listen,
against Jordan Reed.
And it's a great point because I'll tell you what everybody complains about. It's not Jordan Reed. It's about the defense, how they can't stop him. That's what they complain about.
We're
they didn't care less about
him. We can't stop
yes.
this dude. We need help. We have a faster, taller Jordan Reed on the team now.
Yeah.
Guys, stop complaining. And I think the reason people are banging on Jerry Reese is because, to be honest, the media is feeding this false narrative to the people, saying that Reese got fleeced. And we should have took Njoku, and Howard is way better than Engram. We don't know what the board is like. Everybody's guessing.
Yes.
All of these reporters that are saying, oh, Howard is top five on the Giants board. I'd like to know, is Jerry Reese calling these guys up and saying, hey, what do you think about my board?
No, they're not. No, and I'll tell you one thing. There's a reason why they're reporters. They're not scouts. Okay,
I'm
telling you, you know what, and I'll tell you what would solve all this problem, is that if every one of the media had access to 32 of the boards in those war rooms, all this would be a moot point. Then we would know exactly what everybody is thinking.
And then all the drama would be taken out of it.
Exactly, and it wouldn't be fun
exactly.
about it. So I agree with you. It is media forced down your throat,
yes,
and it's not.
Last year, just answer this one other question. Last year. We were all talking about, we all knew who Jerry Reese liked. You think they're not smart enough to know, you know what, this year, we're going to throw a whole bunch of names out. Let them think this, let them think that, so no one knows our board, and when no one can jump in front of us and take the guy we want. They're not going to leak all of this stuff out to the media. They don't want the people to know who they're taking.
We never
guys, I'm, appreciate it.
I'm telling the fans, stop listening. Not everybody. But those people that are bashing Jerry and saying he got fleeced, and again, he's stagnant, we praise Belichick for not moving up all the time and moving back. What does he say? He loves his picks. He wants multiple picks. So why are we knocking Jerry for not trading up? He wants his picks too.
Yeah,
he loves his picks.
And you know what?
Yes.
And you know what? By the way, Jerry Reese has made 11 trades involving draft picks in his first 10 years as the Giants GM. But the thing is, he's never traded a number one. and that's why people think that he doesn't move at all. He's made 11 deals.
Okay. Well, you know what? How many teams, how many 32 teams have traded their number one somewhere? And listen, I'm telling you right now, in a situation where you build your team through the draft, what is your motivation? To try to get as many picks as you can, right? Okay, but you can still, if you were to move up in the draft, and you are mortgaging your future, so to speak, because you're now saying, we're not going to build our team through the draft because we just gave up a number three and a number four to get this guy, and we moved up four spots to get him. I don't think it's worth it. They got a tight end that they liked, okay? And who's to say we don't know what these three guys are going to be like in 5 years? Let's talk about it in 5 years and see which one of them is an all-pro.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay,
thank
so
you. Exactly
there you
right.
go. There you go. I'm going to shut up.
Although I'm going to tell you, I still have a gut feel.
Before I go to the phone, just one about tonight's picks.
Yeah.
I would like us to look at on defense, Cunningham, McDowell.
Yeah.
And on offense, I would like us to look at Garcia, and I'm glad you're on that bandwagon now, Paul.
Okay.
Garcia. And like you said, Jeff, I agree with you. Don't go running back. You can find the running backs are a dime a dozen. You can find them on the third day. Second day, we got to hit the lines. We got to go in the trenches and get some O-line help, some defensive line help, or maybe a linebacker.
And a corner. Don't forget about a corner.
And you're right, and a corner.
Definitely got to get another corner.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think that you know, when you look at the running back situations, I think the guys that have been taken are those are your cream of the crop. The rest of them, you know, they're going to get drafted, but you can find value still in a running back in the third, fourth round. I think you still can do that. I think that maybe the Giants may do that. I don't know. I'm just saying. But you know, listen, I think the Giants. We know, Paul, you can't have enough cornerbacks. They get hurt. Okay, they're thoroughbred. They just run, and things break down over a long season. You want to have the affordability to have a good depth at your cornerback positions. Go get yourself one in the second and third round, and they'll immediately come in and make. They'll play in the sub. They'll play in nickel and dime. Mm-hmm. You know, so go get them.
201-939-4513 to clarify the Jordan Reed comparisons to Evan Engram. When Jordan Reed came out, he was a third-round pick, pick number 23, by the way, of the third round, by the Redskins in his draft. 6'2½", 236 pounds.
Almost identical.
And ran a 4.72 at the combine.
He doesn't run that anymore.
Engram, 6'3", 234, 4.42 at the combine. Again, third-round pick. Reed, first-round pick, Engram.
Well,
there is a difference there.
Well, you know what? And Jordan Reed has proved the critics wrong. He should have been a first-rounder the way that he plays, and that's my take.
Engram has to live up to now.
Well, that's fine, and I think he will. I really do. I think the reason I like him, and I compare him to Jordan Reed like everybody else does, is that Jordan Reed lines up everywhere, and so will this guy. He'll line up everywhere. He can play anywhere, okay? And again, the blocking component of it, none of them can block. Njoku's not a great blocker. The best blocker of the three that we're talking about is probably O.J. Howard just because he's bigger than the other guys.
Well, there are guys now later on as you go down, the guys like Butt, who has the knee injury, Kittle, Sprinkle. There are blocking tight ends in this draft, Jeff.
But they're not sexy.
But they're not nearly as dynamic.
Yeah. They're the guys like that you have.
Yes,
in
the
your
Jake
mind
Ballard
the
types. I know. Yeah. Those are the guys that I want to play
like
ball.
Like I was saying, the Giants went out and got a blocking tight end, so they don't need a guy that can block. They need a playmaker, and they got him. And he's not a bad blocker. Listen, the guy doesn't whiff every time he's on the line. He's a first-round draft pick. Obviously, he has the intangibles to be able to go out and block sometimes. But they're not going to be asking him to do it all the time. They're going to be asking him to make some plays.
See, you can adjust to the new school mentality quicker than I can. I get stuck in that old school mentality sometimes a little bit too much, I suppose.
I feel like this is just – and I've been saying it for years. Eli Manning would love to have a Jimmy Graham, a Jordan Reed, someone of that caliber.
Well, he's got one now.
He's got one now.
He sure
and
does.
And let's just see how much more comfortable he is about reading – defenses and then going through his progression and seeing, oh my God, look at Engram, he's wide open. He's my third read.
Okay. but that running game is going to have to get better because without balance, you can't do it all through the air.
Well,
I'm just telling you.
There's
you know
no
that.
Question. Any football team, their running game has to improve constantly.
Okay.
And, you know,
if you want to throw it 50 times a game, you know,
well,
your punter's going
to
be on the field a lot.
You don't want to throw it 50 times a game, but sometimes you go into it, even sometimes 60 times a game.
We go to line two, and Dan from Delaware. Hello, you're on the show.
Danny.
Hey, guys. I have one. I have a comment about the pick, but I just want to ask you guys if you've heard any reason why O.J. Howard actually fell as far as he did. Because by all accounts, they said he was like one of the cleanest players, no off the field, no any kind of issues. Was it purely because of other teams didn't have like a tight end need, or do you have any clue as to why he would have fallen as far as he did?
I kind of do.
Please.
I just feel it all has to do with the quarterbacks and guys moving up, and it just skewed the board. I really do. And I don't think you can pin a real reason behind it, but I feel like if you look at everybody's mock drafts and, you know, kind of as an indicator of how the draft was supposed to go, it didn't go anywhere near what people were thinking. They're the three quarterbacks that were taken. Every single one of those teams moved up to get them.
Yeah.
Therefore, everybody else moves down a slot or two, and therefore that's where
true.
Howard is probably there. That's my opinion.
So nothing to do with the player then? It's just kind of the way
I don't think
it
has
then,
to do
guess,
anything with the player. I think it has to do more with the process than anything that happened.
Because I'm happy with the pick. I'm glad we went with the playmaker. I was so nervous that after Jared Davis was picked, that we were going to, in my opinion, would have been a reach for an offensive lineman, and I did not want that. And I remember after the Beckham draft, it was between, like, I believe it was between, like, Zach Martin and Beckham, and JR gave a press conference, and he basically said, like, his philosophy is, like, you know, if it's between that or a playmaker and they're equal,
playmaker.
The difference is I'm taking the playmaker. So I'm glad he went with the playmaker. I'll trust the organization to do their evaluation that they liked him over Njoku, so I won't pick that apart or anything like that. I think a lot of other people had Njoku over Ingram, but I mean I'm fine with that. But the thing that I want to say, and I know you were talking about the OJ, the trading up and stuff, is that, you know, if we're saying just now that OJ didn't have any issues and he fell because of all these reasons, so if you do believe he is a top 10 talent who fell. And once he, I mean, I just know once he got by Philly, because I knew he wouldn't have traded with Philly. Once he got by, I'm yelling at the TV, like, we got to move, we got to move. We can get this guy. We can get this guy. And the way I look at it, it's like Tennessee was the perfect spot because they are always open for business. They are always looking to move. And they picked the cornerback. I think it was Dory
Jackson.
They
did.
At 18.
And
there were no cornerbacks that went from 18 to 23. So it's fair to say that they could have gotten him at 23. So a third round pick may have done the job. And
may have.
You know, I know we're not in the room, so we don't know when phones are ringing and stuff. But I believe like there's been like multiple quotes from like Jordan, Renan, and Art and stuff that JR, after he gave his press conference, he said we did not even try to trade. So to me, I really don't understand it. Unless they have Ingram as a better player
there
than Howard.
There you go. That's you answered your own question.
Do you believe that that's the case, or do you believe that he just didn't want to give up any assets to move up for the superior player? Because I'm just looking at our third round picks the last 4 years. I'm looking at Jaron Hosley, Damontre Moore, Jay Bromley, and double O, and then the jury's still out on Thompson. So to me, I'm comfortable giving a third-round pickup because we've just not had the success. And it just kind of is just strange. It's strange to me that we wouldn't even make a phone call or anything. And
well,
if that's true.
I know, but see, we don't know.
We
like
don't
you said,
know.
We don't
the
know
estimate
that. We
would
also
have been a third-round.
Okay,
that would have been the estimate.
By those guys as saying we did not try to trade up.
Listen, I can tell you right now that Jerry Reese is not going to stand on that podium and tell you anything with the draft still continuing going. He's not going to say anything about that.
Exactly.
So he could have made 10 phone calls, but you're not going to know that, and we'll never know it.
You got to understand, while the draft is in progress, these front office people would lie to their parents. OK, okay?
Yeah, no question.
They would.
I mean, it's just hard. It's just so hard for me to look at it and be like, man, Tennessee was sitting right there. We could have had the guy. But, I mean, I guess that being said, you know, I'm glad we got the playmaker because
there
I think it's really going to help us beating these coverages that these teams have been playing against us. We'll have a guy being able to go down the seam. Eli should love him. You know, hopefully he's a quick learner and gets up to speed. And
I think he will. The other thing, too, is, like, you know, I look at the two comparison of Ingram and Howard, okay? I know that they're both big tight end. They're good players. But from a team's perspective – what type of player would you want to fit in your offense better? And I feel that Ingram fits better in this offense because of the dynamic intangibles that he has. I know Howard is a fast guy, he's a big guy, this and that, but I feel that Ingram is more of a receiver / tight end than a, you know what I'm saying?
There's no question about that.
I feel like McAdoo wanted a guy like that in this offense.
He got the most dynamic receiving tight end available.
That's why they got him. Okay, and I feel like they were confident all along that if he was there, that was their guy.
And by the way, the timing, if you wanted, O.J. Howard was a 4.51.
Well, that's pretty quick.
It's pretty good for a big guy.
He's 6'6", and he's like 250. Yeah.
But that's not Ingram's
4.42. 6'3" and 230, just like 5, right? I mean,
yeah, yeah. But see that. But Ingram is a 6'6", 250 is not a receiver. A 6'3", 230 is a receiver.
This is the number that you're really going to like right here. The vertical on Ingram, 36, only 30 on Howard.
Yeah.
6 inches on the vertical jump. Now, I'm not big on all the combine numbers, but when you talk about that vertical, that gives you a bigger box to throw the ball in.
Sure.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, Eli has been known to
throw high.
Put the ball up a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, exactly.
All right, well, that being said, I'm just hoping tonight I would like to get a defensive tackle to fill in for Hankins or at least any kind of defensive lineman and possibly a linebacker, and I think we could wait on the running back till round 4 or hopefully maybe there's some truth to these blunt rumors after the draft is over.
Well,
so
there's always that possibility, and James Conner could be sitting there in the fourth or fifth round, too. So thanks for the call.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Good points. Appreciate it.
201-939-4513. Counting down the last 10 minutes or so of the program. Line 3 has Ed from Rochester waiting to come on. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Paul and Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm pretty excited about the last one. I want to kind of pitch you on what Jeff just said. I agree with your last statement that our first-round pick, we had to go to the right system, very similar to the McCaffrey selection. I know you guys have been talking about that the past 2 weeks. McCaffrey needed to go to the right system to really have his skill set utilized. I think that's what happened here.
No question.
I also like listening to the interviews when Coach said the fastest way to get to the end zone is down the middle of the field, and this guy is faster than Beckham. At least on the one on the combine. So that was very intuitive to me. I wanted to get feedback on that.
Well, the feedback is if you had the chance or you haven't, go watch some film on this on this guy. He has breakaway speed. I mean, after the catch is very dynamic and very quick, and all you got to do is get the ball to him in some space within the first 5 yards line of scrimmage and let him go. Let him work.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him run like Beckham, like some of the moves and stuff that he does.
By the way, Odell was a 4.43.
There you go.
Combine, just so you know.
There you go. I mean, come on. This further proves my point. I'm telling you. I love it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. And plus with his size, obviously he's a little bit taller than Odell. And with what you're saying now, he can get up to get the ball. I think this was a really good pick. Last night I was looking to hopefully move up. I'm pretty happy with what happened.
You too.
The second thing I wanted to bring up, and I just want to ask a question to both of you guys. If we don't do a running back anywhere in this draft, does that indicate that you think that Blunt is coming? Because I thought something was going to happen before the draft, but obviously he waited to see what's going to happen. My point is, if we're going to get Blunt, I doubt we're going to draft a back. Am I correct in thinking that?
Well, it seems to me that once you get, and Jeff can answer this better than I can, once you get into the last couple of weeks going into the draft, usually everybody's on hold.
Yeah.
And they want to figure out how the draft is going to fall. And then the week after the draft, you hear some of these street free agents signing.
Yeah. Well, street free agents being both the guys that didn't get drafted and, you know, some of the veteran free agents. Okay.
Right.
There's also June 1st cuts that come around. That's very close
right.
coming by. So there's a lot of different maneuvering, if you will. After the draft, it's all about getting the young guys in here in camp for mini camp and even the rookie camp, trying to build your 90-man roster. And then there'll be a little bit of tweaks here and there. But, you know, when you talk about a guy like Blunt, you know, what's he doing? He doesn't – there's nothing coming up. You hope that, you know, if it's not him or anybody else, they're staying in shape. And most likely
right.
they've had dialogue with teams that may or may not be interested in signing them. But right now it's all about the draft and getting the young kids in here. And I'm sure that each team has a plan going forward. And maybe that's what the Giants do. But I wouldn't buy into anything if they don't draft a guy. That just means to me that there wasn't value in the pick at that position
right.
at the time.
Yeah, and it's just a good point because the running back room isn't horrible right now.
No.
So I don't want to read into that. My point is I'm okay if they take it back. If they don't, and we have to maybe get Blunt off the street, he's a good veteran. He can maybe teach some of our younger guys. I think either way, I'm good going either way.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're appreciate
welcome.
It very much.
Have a good afternoon.
Go Giants.
Couple minutes left on the program. Looks like line four has Mike from Buffalo waiting. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hello?
Yes,
hey,
Mike.
What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I'll make it quick. I know we don't have a lot of time. Hey, Paul, I had called in last week with this whole, you know, Ingram versus Njoku. I was kind of bummed out, but I think I'm coming to terms with it, listening to, you know, to some of the other callers and so forth. And I see a lot of, you know, good reasons why, you know, Ingram was picked over him. One of the things I wanted to mention, though, you know, I haven't heard anyone else mention, the other three division rivals in the NFC East all took defensive ends.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was something that kind of bummed me out too. By this time, you know, by next year, you know, those will be in, you know, in their second year, they're building up their defenses. And I would have loved to have seen us grab a defensive end, you know, now going into round two, you know, looking at the defense. One of the big things on my mind is on the defensive line, in addition to losing Hankins, no one really talks about the fact that if Snacks goes down at some point with an injury, we're in a bad situation. And it would have been nice to have, let's say, a Taco Charlton or someone like that to rotate in. I know sometimes even JPP is able to move into the middle of the defensive line. I would have loved to have seen just someone on the front four that can help take some of the stress out of those front four.
Well,
so
I think, to be honest with you, they will look to fortify the defensive line at some point tonight in these two picks.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make an effort to do so. Now, will they be able to? I don't know that. But there's enough of guys there
exactly.
that should give them an opportunity to grab one.
Yep.
And I agree with you. It's important.
Real quick, I'll give – oh, sorry. I know you guys are short on time. I'll give you my picks for tonight that I'm hoping for.
Sure.
I know Zach Cunningham's still on the board.
Won't be there.
I'm still big on Sidney Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, that would be a later pick.
Right.
Taylor Moton, Anthony Garcia, and P. Ryan. I'd love to see him, too.
All viable radar guys. By the way, and thanks for the call. Quickly, the other guys who he mentioned, the defensive ends taken in the division, Eagles took Barnett.
Stud.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Stud.
Cowboys took Charlton, and Redskins took Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, all quality players, or prospects, I should say.
And should we mention that the Giants have JPP and Olivia Vernon as their defensive ends?
I have no problem with that. All right, listen, we've got two callers on hold, and we're really kind of out of time. So what I want to do is we're going to go to Charlie and Dre. I'm going to give you guys 1 minute each just because I want to get you on. We started the program
Impossible.
Late. Charlie, go ahead. We'll give you 90 seconds. How about that on line one? 90
Sounds
seconds,
good,
Charlie.
Guys. Hey, I'm not down on that, but I'm not totally happy with the pick.
You're never happy,
but,
Charlie. Go ahead.
But I think we have a problem with our offensive line and Flowers. The DNs that our three teams just picked, guess who they're going to be going up against? They're going up against Flowers. So we still have a major issue. We still have a problem, and I hope somehow we address it. That's
Real quickly, Charlie, who are we picking in the second round?
You want to take a tackle there?
We got to go D-tackle. I don't know who, probably Wormley or somebody like that. That's who I think we'll go for.
Okay.
All right, Charlie. Maybe you check in with us tonight, 7 o'clock for the draft show.
I will.
All right, let's go to line two. Dre from Atlanta, final call on the show. Hello.
Hi, Dre. What's up, my man?
Hey, what's going on, Feig? Hey,
much,
what's up, P-Dot? Hey, I'm gonna end it up real quick.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with Charlie. I can't believe I just said that, but I'm gonna think who would you take between Deion Dockett and Garcia, and I'll take it off the air.
Between Dawkins and Garcia, Garcia's more of a true tackle. Dawkins, a lot of people think, while a tackle at Temple, is probably going to play guard in the NFL, but certainly with all the tackle experience at a D1 program, you'd have to think at least he'd have the possibility of competing at tackle. I'd probably go with Garcia.
I would too. Yeah. Because I want another tackle to compete in camp.
He's more of a bona fide tackle, even though he does need some coaching up and some beef and stuff.
They all do.
He's more of a real tackle, though.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
All right, Dre.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Dre. We always appreciate it, my man.
And I do think, by the way, both of those guys could be in the vicinity at 55.
Very close. Yeah.
They could be.
I'll call you out tonight either way, too. So.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right,
that'll do it for today's program. We appreciate you checking in with us for this last hour. He's gone already? There you go. Now it's gone. We had the dial tone clicking in on us. Once again tonight, 7 o'clock here on Giants.com, special draft night live. We will take you through the second round and maybe even all the way to the Giants' third round pick. That'll depend on the floor callers from you guys. See if you want to hang around with us, and we will try to hang around with you. Jeff Eagles, it's been good.
It always is, Paulie.
We'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Have a good weekend, everyone.